Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad you're here today to hear the Word of God. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that we're a Word church? What does that mean? It means that we preach the Word. I don't have any great ideas. If I had great ideas, I'd have had them already. Right? I might have had so many great ideas that I could have forgot about God. But I don't have a lot of great ideas other than His ideas. And I don't want any ideas other than His ideas. And so that's why we call ourselves Word Church. This is a Word of Faith Church. We believe that the Word and faith is where it comes from. In addition to that, we believe that we need to have a solid foundation. Do you believe that? I believe that we need a foundation. And I'll tell you right now that I feel like I was robbed through my young days of ministry. Because so much of my understanding came only from what is called the New Testament. And I really believe that God began to give me a foundation and an understanding of the New Testament that I never had when I began to study what He said in the Old Testament. You want to know why? That's a foundation. It's a foundation. Somebody said, yeah, but don't you know that that old covenant is gone? No, it's not gone. It's not gone. It's just a better covenant. And really, if you looked at all the covenants from the Edenic covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and you finally come over to the Berit Chadashah, which is the renewed covenant. And you find that all of them have elements that just keep getting better and better until it gets to Yeshua, and this is the better covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant that we have in Him. And so as we talk about being a Word church, you have to know that that means to me that I believe every word that God spoke throughout this Bible is true, and that He never changed His mind about anything. Now, if that bothers you, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I believe it. Every word of God is true. The Bible says God is not a man that He should lie. And the Scripture says God never changes. Say that with me. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so if He said to Adam, and we talked about this a while back when we taught you on the blessing, the first words that Adam ever heard were, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. How do you look when you're in dominion? Could I see an expression of dominion, please? Some of you aren't sure, huh? Looking at me like a dog looking at a new dish. What does that look like? You ever see a dog look at a new dish? Dog comes up and looks at a new dish, he goes. Or we even say a calf looking at a new gate. Calf doesn't know what to do with a new gate. He doesn't know how to go through a new gate. You've got to teach him. Well, we're going to teach you some things here that I hope will get you to just walk right on into the fullness, into the completeness of the gospel. Say full gospel. Full gospel. That's what we want. We want the full gospel. And we've been talking about in this blessing that God has given us. See, God gave a blessing to Adam in the garden. He said, have dominion in it and subdue it. That never changed. That's always been God's plan. God's plan for Adam was that Adam would have children. The animals would have progeny. There would be animals growing. The plants would be reproducing. And what would have happened is that Adam, as he was in the garden, and remember now, he wasn't just a toiler, at least not until after he sinned. He was the... Now listen, you're not going to like the word for a second, but think about it. He was the God of this world. Under God. Under God, He had the dominion and authority to oversee everything that went on. And so when the serpent came, he came to his wife Hava, Eve. And she comes back to Adam and she says, now Adam, this, I don't know what this is over here, but whatever it is, see, I don't think Adam had named that one. Because I think it was a different strain. But she says, this thing, this serpent, he says that God doesn't want us to eat of that other tree because we'll be as He is when we do. Well, see, what they didn't know was they were as He was already, except they hadn't eaten the tree of life yet. They had perfection. Have you ever thought about this? Adam and Eve had everything perfect, and they still weren't satisfied. Isn't that just like the flesh? The flesh can have everything perfect. But God's plan was that Eden should just spread out and take over the whole earth, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that Adam knew, see, Adam walked in this glory, would have covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. That would have been the plan from the beginning, but sin came in and spoiled the plan. Now, God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, have dominion, and subdue it. Did it change? No, it only changed in so much as Adam failed to do it. And mankind, because of sin, was in that state of failure until Jesus showed up. Jesus came, and the Bible says He took back the keys of death. You remember what happened when Adam sinned? Death came into the world, didn't it? Jesus took it back. And Jesus walked in this earth just exactly like the Father said we were to walk from the beginning. He walked being fruitful. He went around, and wherever He went, the Bible said He did good. Didn't He? He was filling the earth with believers. And boy, I tell you what, He did a marvelous thing if you stop and think about it. Just in the time He was here, how many people started to believe? Even those old religious Pharisees and those unbelieving Sadducees. Some of them began to believe on Him. But that wasn't His job. His job was to start the work and then put us into a position where we could do it. So He died on the cross for all of the sin debt of the entire world. His blood was an atonement and a propitiation for our sin. He remitted them all sins. There's not a person today, every unsaved person on the earth today, their sins actually have been paid for. Isn't that right? All they need to do is believe on the one that did it. Trust in Him. And so in doing that, Jesus restored to us what Satan had stolen, or even more appropriately, Adam had given away. And now He's put us back in a position of being in dominion on this earth. And because we're in dominion, He also has restored to us a position of walking in His power, His presence, and His glory. He filled us with His Holy Spirit. Manifested the power and presence of His Holy Spirit in us. We've been talking about that glory. Because religious people won't walk in glory. They have a form of it. We know a little bit about it. In fact, I don't know if you know it, but the way churches are built is a kind of try to establish an appearance of glory with architecture. We take these big mausoleums, is what they turn out to be, don't they? Isn't that what Jesus said? Even though you build them, they're full of dead men's bones. How many of you ever been to Westminster Abbey in London? Any of you ever been there? You walk into this huge, huge church, and down the hallways there's all kinds of crypts, caskets stuck in the wall inside the church. So Jesus knew what He was talking about, didn't He? When He said, you fill them up with dead men's bones. But you know what? I didn't see any life. I didn't even feel the power of the presence of the Spirit of God when I was in that place at all. Now, I wasn't at a service. I expect God could show up just as much as He does here. But I wasn't at. But you see what I'm talking about? Now, I want to get back to what the Lord says we are supposed to have. I want to get back to that place of walking in dominion. And remember, His dominion is not the dominion we think of so many times with an earthly mind, because we begin to think about walking around and lording it over things. He didn't give us dominion to do that. He gave us dominion to bring the good of Eden back into play in the earth. The blessings of God. And He gave us good news to do it with. And the motivation to do it was the same motivation He had when He came, and that is what? What's the motivation of God? Love! Not only is it His motivation, but in fact it is Him. God is love. And so, when we think about glory, what it means, and you say, why would you talk about it? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll show you why we think it's something we should be talking about. In fact, the Lord told us to camp here. He said, just stay here a while. Preachers always try to figure out a new sermon. Did you know that about preachers? And by the way, I got to tell you, I just don't struggle at this at all. I just come. God told me a long time ago, don't prepare sermons, prepare your heart. And I'll give you words. I have notes, but they're mostly scriptures that the Lord's led me to put down. But I'm not here to talk to you or read you an inspirational message. I'm here to talk to you and deliver what I believe God would talk to you about, what He would say. And I believe He's calling us to come back into a place of the glory of God. We don't want to mistake what it is. It's not just noise. It can be. It can be a lot of noise. It's not just solemn quietness. It's not just that. It's not just fire. It's not just the presence of a cloud. But it's all of the splendor of the presence of God. And that word in the Hebrew is kavod, which means heavy, or speaks of majesty, weighty, richness, splendor, brightness, magnificence. And if you think about it, God's things are heavy, they're weighty, and they're worthy. Everything about God, He's worthy. Amen? But we need to come to a place where we begin to think of weighty as God's things. You know, when Jesus came, He preached a sermon that's called the Sermon on the Mount. You remember that one? Find it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And really, what is He? Has any of you ever taken time to just think, what was He talking about on that sermon? What was He trying to say? What was a, you know, a message ought to have some kind of a theme, right? And it did. But what was it? This is what the kingdom of God looks like. That's the way I'd title it. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Do you remember how He started out? Blessed. Blessed are they. The Beatitudes. He starts talking in a way that we don't think about. We don't think of being blessed when somebody comes up and wrongs us and we take it without retaliation. But that's a blessed state. When somebody smites you on the left cheek and you turn to them your right cheek, you know you're walking in blessing when you can do that. Amen? When you don't have to be right all the time. Even when you are right, you don't have to be seen as right. Doing God's things, God's ways, doing simple things is about the kingdom. And I believe it's a door into the glory. Doing the simple things. When Jesus had said, he that is faithful in small things will be faithful also in large. Didn't He say that? He said, he that's faithful in the little things, God will give control over bigger things. Didn't He show us that? And so I think sometimes, you know, we get into this attitude that everything is about deep intercession or, book that we read that gives us a whole bunch of points on how to get into the glory. I don't believe we ought to do that. I just believe we ought to just seek the face of the Lord. Just seek His face. Just begin to come to Him and say, Lord, what is it You want? We want to do things Your way. We want to come back to that and do it faithfully. Not just talking about leadership doing this. I believe many, many people would move into leadership in the body of Christ. Listen to me now. I believe many, many, many. I believe it's God's plan for most of the church to be in leadership. You say, well, how could that ever be? Because we don't serve just here. We serve out there. In fact, if you'll notice, we have a sign on the door as you go out that says, the service begins here as you leave. What you're here doing today is akin to getting your battery charged, right? We're here to hear the Word and get charged up and get stirred up. Hear some things, learn some things, to take His yoke upon us and learn of Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden's light. So weighty, if we want to get into the weight of God's presence, maybe it's more about the way we treat those things of the Lord. Learning to treat them the way they really are. The things of God should be manifest. Listen to me. The things of God should be manifest in our midst. I mean the glory of the Lord should be manifest in the congregation of God. Now that's great. I'm preaching it, but I expect to see it. I must have His manifestation. How about you? Say, I must. I must have the manifestation of God. Did He promise it? Yeah, he took an early church and He told them in Corinth, when Paul was speaking to Corinth, He said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all to profit with all. Remember that? Say that in 1 Corinthians. It's to give us a profit. We're to profit together. Good things going on. Now, let me just give you some of the little things. Kind of get into this a little bit from John, the 14th chapter and the 15th verse. Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Amplified Bible says, if you really love me, keep and obey my commandments. If you really love me, keep and obey my commandments. What commandments? Which one? All of them. That sounds kind of hard, doesn't it? Did you know the Jews have gone to a place where they say there are 613 commandments in the Bible? Now, I have to tell you, some of those were given specifically to the priests in the offering of sacrifices. I've looked at them. And so it wouldn't be possible for us to keep them because Jesus kept those. Did you know that? And I'm going to tell you something else. We haven't been doing too good with just the 10. I said, we haven't been doing too good with just the 10. But all of the 613 are included in the 10. And so if I kept them all, I'd go to heaven, right? Well, it's a moot point because I haven't kept them all and neither of you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know I can't keep them all. But did Jesus then just, was He just making small talk here when He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Now, you need, it's important to think about these things, see, because sometimes we have taken so much away from what Jesus said that somebody said it this way. Said, well, and by the way, don't think I'm disagreeing with him just because I'm saying this, but somebody said it this way. If you will just love, you don't have to worry about the rest. Well, the fact is, if you will just love, you will keep all the rest. If you will just love, you will keep them all. But someone that I heard say, well, it's much easier now because all we're commanded to do is love. No, it's much harder now. I say it's much harder now. Because I could before, if I was just keeping the letter of the law, I could just do the things that the letter said. But it didn't talk about my motivation. Are any of you following me? Have you ever been in a place where you've done what God said, but you didn't do it with the right motivation? Or you didn't do it with the right attitude? I got to tell you a story on my mom. Well, I grew up on a farm, a wheat farm. And so we'd have harvesters come in and work for us. And, you know, if you've ever worked on a farm, you know that there's one thing you know about equipment. When you need it the most is when it fails. It just seems to happen so often, you know. And those combines have about 3 billion moving parts. And those tractors and things. And this was way, way back. I was a little kid. In fact, you'll hear the story. I hope you know I was little when I did this. But anyhow, my dad had to have a mechanic come out during this time to work on his equipment. And this mechanic was nice enough to leave the city and come out the city 8 miles away, Strasburg, 600 people, come out to the farm. Well, Dad told Mom, Harry's coming out today. His name was Harry Nordlow, I remember, and this is kind of plays into the story. Harry Nordlow's coming today, and it'd be, you know, really right for us, since he's coming all the way out here, if we could fix dinner for him. And I think there were other people in the harvest that were going to be there that day. Anyhow, she started working on that dinner, and I can remember her talking, you know, walking off on the side. And now, I know none of you have ever done this, but I can remember, see, because I was a little kid and I was around there, and she's working and everything's not going right, and she's getting stuff ready, and pretty soon she says, "Oh, that Harry Nordlow coming out here, I wish he wasn't coming out here today," she says. She said, "That Harry Nordlow, I wish he'd just stay in town." Well, here he's coming out to do a nice thing. But you know, she's in the midst of... Do you remember Martha and Mary? Do you remember Martha? Martha's getting everything... Well, Mom was the epitome of Martha that day. She was just working away. That Harry Nordlow. And I don't like him anyhow. And anyhow, I heard all of that. And I was probably about 5. I don't know, I could have been a little older than that, but they were out there working away out at the shop, and I walked out there, and I can still kind of about 2/3 remember doing it. So, you know, I have a lot of remembrances, but I walked out, and they're working in the shop, and I got closer than that. See, Paul's here. I walked out there, and I said, "My mama don't like you." And of course, they didn't pay too much attention to it, but Harry remembered it. And when he got in, he was a funny old guy anyhow, when he got inside and was eating dinner, he looked up at my mom and says, "My mama don't like you." And from then on, every time he saw her, until I think the day he died, he would say that to her, you know, long after I was grown. But the point was, she was doing the right thing. Are you listening to me? But her heart wasn't in it. You ever been there? See, it's really harder to keep the spirit of the law than it is to just keep the letter of the law. And we can't even keep the letter. So the answer is that unless we walk in the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God move in us, we don't have a chance. But that doesn't stop what Jesus said. He said, "If you love me," John 14:15, "if you love me, keep my commandments." He didn't stop right there. Down in the 21st verse, he said, "He that hath my commandments." Y'all said you had a Bible? You got his commandments. And don't ever be those that say, "Oh, yes, I've got one of those that's got all the words of Jesus in red." I don't care if you got one that's red or not. But don't think that's all the words of Jesus. Because the Word of God was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All of it is His Word. And so when He says, "Keep my commandments," I believe we have to go back through, get back in that Old Testament and find out what He says about how we treat one another. Did you know that's where it first talked about it? We read it today. Remember that? Ve'havata la're'acha chamocha. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's tough. How many of you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, Pastor, I'm trying. Oh, well, let me just make it a little tougher for you. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor, love one another as I have loved you." Well, how much love was that, people? It's gotten tough. That's right, He gave His life. He laid down His life for His brother. So it really gets tougher. But the Bible says, "If ye have my commandments and keep them," that means to guard, to do them. Listen, just because you got saved didn't free you from the Word of God. It actually put the Word of God in your heart. Isn't that what He said in Jeremiah 31:33 and in Ezekiel 36:27? He said these commandments are going to be put on the fleshy tables of your heart. So we really keep it more completely as we do it that way than we could ever have kept it just through doing it in the flesh. That's what the Word says when it says, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Amen? So we're going to move on through this because I won't get done. You know, I've been on this for 2 weeks now. Some of you weren't here last week, so I had to go back over the beginning of this again. I'm talking about preparing the temple of God. Preparing a temple for God. He says, he that hath my commandments, my Torah, that's what Torah doesn't mean law, by the way. Torah means what, Tammy? Teaching and instruction. The word Torah has been mistranslated. And so a lot of times when you see law, it really should say my instructions. My instructions. When I read about just some simple things. Did you know the Bible says, when a man with gray hair, an older man, walks into the room, you should rise? Now, I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. And Ray and I have white hair. So we wondered why when you came in here today, you didn't all rise. And you, see, there's something to that that we've lost, especially in this generation. And I'm not looking to draw any honor to myself. But how many of you know that we are to honor our elders? How many of you know that honoring your father and your mother really means what it says? That means you don't call them the old man and the old lady. Right? And that's what a Christian looks like as they walk through life. They keep these words. We put the tzedakah box back there because the Bible says you're supposed to remember that you were a stranger in the land. And you're supposed to help other people. How many of you think we could do a better job than the United States government does at welfare? Why could we? Because we'd be doing it on a grassroots, local, and a spirit-led level. Right? Could be a whole lot better, couldn't it? What do we lack? We actually lack nothing. Once we get the vision for it, I believe there's going to be more than enough coming in to do that. I really do. I believe it with all my heart. So he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keeps and guards to do them is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will what? I will what? Manifest. Say manifest. What does manifest mean? Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. You all know what it means, but let's read it. The Amplified says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him, manifest. And I will make myself real to him. How many of you would like a little more of that? Seeing Jesus a little more clearly? And for him to be real to you all the time. All the time. You ever been driving down the road and suddenly just become aware of the Lord in the car, right there with you in the car? Now I know this is not accurate, but I just feel like sometimes he's sitting in the passenger seat when I'm driving alone, and I'll just, you know, get to talking to him, and just like he's a friend. Because the Bible says he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In fact, when you hear the word friend, you know we're talking about covenant. The true word friend means one who is in covenant with another. That's why Jesus said, I'll no longer call you my servants, I call you my friends. Because we're in covenant with him. He said, I'm going to let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Then Jesus said, you remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? When he's standing outside the tomb? We're talking about him manifesting himself. Manifestation of Jesus is the glory of God, isn't it? Can you imagine? How many of you ever known anybody that had a vision of Jesus walking into the room and talking to him? I've known some people that have actually seen him just that way. Now, I saw him once. I saw his face one time, vision-like, but he didn't say anything to me. I just saw him, you know. I've heard his voice at other times, but this time I just saw him. And I can tell you, it was glorious. But I've known people that have actually had him walk in. One man was preparing for a meeting, laying on his bed. And he said the Lord walked right in, and he said, I looked up and he's standing at the foot of my bed. And he said, he talked to me for quite a while and told me some things. Told me some things that needed to be done, some things in my life. He said, I'd been praying about some things. He talked about them. Did some fine-tuning on my understanding and my understanding of the Word. That's glory, right? How many of you would mind that? How many of you would like that? Yeah, we'd like that. Well, that's great, That's great, but it may not always be that way. There's other ways the Lord shows His manifestation of His glory. When He was ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, He said, "Take the stone away." Martha said, "But Lord, he stinketh. By this time he stinketh." Jesus said, "But didn't I tell you," and this is the 11th chapter of John in the 40th verse, "didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" I want you to know that our seeing the glory has a lot to do with our believing, doesn't it? If you believe, you'd see the glory. Does faith have anything to do with the manifestation? Well, obviously. When we preach salvation, what happens? People get saved. When I preach about healing, what happens? People get healed. When I preach prosperity, what happens? People get prosperous. Because it's good news, and as people hear the good news, what happens? Faith comes by hearing, and you never outgrow your need for hearing. You've always got to be a hearer. Faith comes by continually hearing. Remember this. In fact, mark this down in your old notebook. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing. Continual hearing. We continue to do it. And I can testify to the fact that if you leave something that you've known and had revelation on and you leave it lie, pretty soon you have to start over again, build it up again. Have you ever noticed that? You let anything lie for a while and you get into a tight spot. And you got to build it back up. I want to stay built up. I want to stay believing all the time. Amen? Amen. So why do we want to talk about glory? Well, not only is glory the atmosphere of heaven, and I intend to go there, and I don't want to be having to get used to the glory like the Harrises are having to get used to the elevation here. Amen? When you come up, these folks came up from Arkansas. And Arkansas is a good place, because I was generated out of Arkansas. So I know Arkansas is a good place. Were you both born there in Arkansas? Born and raised. So a lot of good things have come out of Arkansas. Yeah, I can tell you that. We know the Harrises. We're glad to have them with us, I'll tell you. But when they came up to the mountains, they came up to a new elevation. What, about 900 feet maybe where you lived? And you're up to 8,500 up there on the hill, maybe 8,600 on the hill. And ask him about what it was like moving into that place. Ask them both what it was like when they were moving into their place up Shadow Mountain West. Upstairs, getting stuff upstairs, up the stairs. You didn't want to ask them when they was doing it because they wouldn't have been able to talk. We know about it. Well, glory's that way. You get used to the glory of God. And I don't mean used to it in a way that it's like all commonplace. I mean you get used to it and you know how to operate in it. You know how to move in it. It doesn't take your breath away the same way that it used to. Now, the natural man will always fall down in the presence of God. But you see, we've come out of that place of just being natural. Moses got to the place where Moses could actually look and see God's glory without falling. Do you know that? And just think, he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. So I know we can do it. So why talk about the glory? Well, it's the atmosphere of heaven, but also that's exactly what Jesus said when he said, if you just keep my words and do what my word says, you'll see my glory. And we thought, well, if we just do it, then someday we'll go to heaven and we'll see his glory. But that's not in line with the blessing of God here on this earth that we're to occupy. My belief is, people, that when you walk up to someone and talk to them, that they won't be able to see anything with their naked eye, but they're going to know there's something about you and coming out of you that they don't understand what it is, but they can feel it. They can know it. That's the way it's supposed to be. The glory of God is on the inside of us. And we hold this glory in an earthen vessel, the Bible says. That's the reason we still have to go get some sleep once in a while, right? Because if we had this glory in heaven, we wouldn't need to get sleep anymore. And so that's why we're preaching glory, is because Jesus said, I want to manifest myself to people. I want them to see myself. And besides that, he said, it's going to get better than that. He's prophesied it. In Numbers 14:21, he said, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's going to happen here on this earth. The earth is going to be. Have we seen that yet? No, but we're going to. So I know there's more to come than we've seen right now. Psalm 72:19 says, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Hebrews 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What's the difference between the glory of the Lord and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? I talked a little bit about it already. When you've been in it a little while, you begin to know how to operate while you're in it. Did you know that's one of the toughest things? That we so many times we just operate the glory of the Lord right out the door because we're so tight and everything has to be done a certain way. We got this churchy idea about how things are supposed to be done. And really, probably the best way would be just get rid of the chairs or put them in a circle or something, you know, and just have everybody operating together and praising God and looking to Him, and somebody would bring a message and another person would bring a message in tongues and somebody else would prophesy, and about that time somebody would be speaking up, giving words of knowledge and words of wisdom. You say, yeah, but that would be confusing. Oh no, that wouldn't be confusing, because the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. It would just be people moving and working. Can you imagine a congregation that worked like that? We wouldn't be used to that kind of thing, would we? We'd say, hey, wait a second. Have you looked at the clock lately? Don't you know the church is supposed to get out at noon? Because, you know, all. In fact, if you could get us out a little earlier, it'd be helpful because the cafeterias fill up, right? See, we've got a mindset about church that's happened through years and years and years of doing it the same way. And I don't know about you, but, you know, just doing something the same way all the time, if it doesn't manifest the presence and the glory of God, I'm not too interested in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if I have the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, it's the difference of, like, you know, I can ride in an airplane and know that airplane flies and it'll hold me up. That's just like the glory. I can be swept along by the glory, but I don't know too much about it. The pilot, on the other hand, of that airplane, he knows how it operates, doesn't he? He knows how to make it turn. He knows how to get it up, and bless God, he knows how to get it down. Amen? Well, sometimes people with the glory, they go nuts. I've seen people just go absolutely flaky. In fact, one pastor said, I've got a granola church. Granola church? Yeah. Fruits, nuts, and flakes. We don't want to be fruits, nuts, and flakes, do we? We want to be people that are grounded in the Lord and able to work in the glory of God, to understand His glory and to move in it and to know, to be able. Don't you realize how many times it is that you'll be someplace and there'll be someone there that's needing ministry, and because we don't know how to work in the glory, we'll just let that opportunity pass. Somebody's needing to hear the message of the gospel, but because we don't know how to work in the glory, we get all fleshly minded and thinking about us, and we won't share because we don't know how to operate in the glory of God. Boy, I can tell you some wonderful times when the glory was manifest. I've seen some beautiful things happen. I've seen people healed instantly. Great things happen. But I can also tell you times that I know I missed it because I wasn't ready to operate in the glory. I wasn't prepared. It's got to happen because the Bible's been prophesying these things. When we want to hear about salvation, we preach salvation and people get saved. When we want to see healing, we preach healing. When people need it, we tell them the word about healing. People get healed. We watch it all the time. I believe it's God's will to heal people, don't you? So we preach that. When we preach prosperity, people begin to believe God and they begin to give according to the Word of God, and prosperity follows them. Amen. You give instructions about it. You preach it, and it begins to happen in our midst. So if we begin to preach glory, And we talk about the glory of God, and everybody begins to think, you know, what would that be like if I was really operating in the glory? Lord, I want to operate in it. Show me what it's like. And everybody gets intent on it. Not just the pastor, but everybody here is intent on walking in the glory of God and expecting glorious manifestations and seeing things happen that they've never, just way out of the box kind of things. How many of you know our God's able to do a lot more than we've seen so far? Amen? Do you believe it might begin to happen? We know it's going to happen. It must happen. It is prophesied. It's prophesied. And what God has said has to happen. But you and I need to be actively trusting. That's right. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'd see the glory of God? Well, yes, I believe. No, I'm not talking about believing like saying, oh yes, I have some type of mental agreement. No, if you believe. How did you get saved?
Trusted.
What'd you do?
Trusted.
You trusted. That was one half of the equation. It is true that that's what you did, but that's really one half of it. If you trust in your heart, you also have to
confess
with your mouth. Everybody give me a smile offering now. That's good. It didn't cost much, did it? You got to say it. You got to say what you believe. Believing has to do with saying and trusting. It has to do with the mouth and the heart. Dan read it today. Joshua 1:8. These words that I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall talk about them. Right? Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. It says, if you'll do that, then you'll observe to do the word. Then you'll have good success. There's too much of just having inner believing and not enough talking about it. In fact, that's one of the main reasons for gathering together, is so we can talk about it openly. We can just say it. You know, it's not always in order every place you go to talk about it. I want you to know that. There's places you can go and talk about it, and it's casting pearls before swine. And you won't cause anything that's peaceful or blessed at all when you talk in the wrong way, at the wrong time. But when you learn that you can talk about it, and you're ready, and the Lord gives you an opening and an opportunity, and you speak it, good things are going to happen. The glory is going to happen. Believing, hearing, and speaking, and expecting manifestation is important. Did God say if we believe and obey, we'll see the glory of God? Isn't that what He said? He said, if you do obey my words, I'll show you myself clearly. He said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. But faith is, it's a rest for us. We get to where we just do it, and we begin to believe it, and we think it. It's true all the time. And you know what? When a bad time comes, we sang that one song today, Blessed Be Your Name, on the road that's, I don't even remember the words to it, but the gist was that the road's difficult. And if you ever have any difficult road, well, you guys are all so blessed here, you don't even have difficult roads. I've had some difficult times, but you know what? I believe right in the middle of the rough times, just resting in God and trusting Him, knowing that He's going to manifest, knowing He's going to show Himself true. And so the Bible says it this way, we which have believed do enter into rest, Hebrews 4:3. As He said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Everything you need, He's already taken care of. Amen? Did you know our God sees? Our God's a seeing God. We have His name up in here, Yahweh Yireh. Where is it? Yireh. Yireh. Right there. We said God is our provider, but literally that means, Yireh means that God sees. He sees. What does He see? Well, let's see, He sees the beginning and He sees the end. And everything, listen to me now, everything that concerns you, He sees. Did you know that God has never had a surprise about anything that happened to you? Anything that befell you? Every situation and every circumstance that's ever happened, even when a hair falls off your head, He knows what number that is. He's intimately related to you. And so, you can't get into a situation that He hasn't already seen and made provision for. That's exciting, isn't it? You ever been there with your back right up against the wall and you didn't know what you were going to do? And then all of a sudden, in a way that you never expected, God delivered you out of it? I think everybody's had it happen. That's because our God sees. And that's what it says here. It says, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He took care of it all. Temptation. Have you ever read that? Romans 10:13? 1 Corinthians 10:13? Says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Remember, He's seen it all in advance. He'll make a way for you to escape from it, that you may be able to bear it. Every temptation, there's a way out of. We just fail to look for the escape hatch. Isn't that right? There's always one there. Think about it. Say that with me. Say, I'm resting. I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We've got to change our way of thinking to enter into the glory. We've got to get rid of time limits. We come together and we think, boy, we've got to get out of here. We've got to roast in the oven. People are coming, this and that. And listen, I know exactly what you're talking about. But sometimes just stop for a second and think, what is it we really have to do that's more important than being in the presence of God? So what we need to do is start arranging our schedule so that nothing will get in the way of being with Him, right? But it takes some thought change, some changes to the way we think. Do you ever get tired when God's manifesting His glory? You ever been in a place where God's healing people and they're falling under the power and mighty works of God, people are being delivered? You get tired of that? Man, I'll tell you what. I could just stay there all day long. Couldn't you? Amen. But you know what? Some people get tired. And a lot of times we never get things started because we're just tired before we get started. We're sick and tired, and for that reason we just stay sick. Amen. That's a sad situation, isn't it? But I don't ever get tired. And meeting together, coming together, joining together ought to be a highlight. Every time we get together, it ought to be a highlight. The Bible said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? I say, is the day approaching? Do you see it? It's coming. Well, listen, just quickly go through some things with me and see if we can see some things about how God's working, getting ready to show His glory. Exodus 29:43. It says, there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. God's talking about how the tabernacle is going to serve them during the time of Moses. The tabernacle. The tabernacle. Say that. Tabernacle. What did it come to be known as later on when they built a permanent dwelling? The what?
The tent of meeting.
Yeah, or the temple. Later on they called it the temple, but that's right. And so in Exodus 40 in verse 16, the Bible says, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. What was he doing? He was preparing the temple for this manifested presence of Yahweh, wasn't he? He was getting it ready. Now, just look with me. 40, verse 19. Verse 19. What did he do first? Read that. He spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it. And now read those last words. As the Lord commanded Moses. Was there a plan? Did God have a plan? He gave the plan to Moses, and Moses did it how? As the Lord commanded him, right? Now, look at verse 21. Quickly, let's just go through these. He brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony. Say it again. As the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23. He set bread in order upon it before the Lord. As the Lord commanded Moses. 25. He lighted the lamps. We lit the lamps this morning. This is a representation of the lamps. Before the Lord. As the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 27. He burnt the sweet incense thereon. As the Lord commanded Moses. In other words, what I'm wanting you to see here, everything he did it just like he was told to do it. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say, in other words. Why do you call me Lord? Do you remember him saying that in Luke? He says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? 29. Okay, there it is. Luke 6:46. Right. Go back to the 40. Put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering again. As the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 32. When they went into the tent of the congregation and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. Now what does it say? So Moses finished the work. What was all this work about? It was preparation. Getting ready. Preparing the tabernacle. Doing what God said to do. And now we come to verse 33 and we read, Moses finished the work. 34 says, then. Then what? Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory filled the tabernacle. Verse 35 says, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. How many of you think that might have been a wonderful thing to see? How many of you would like to have been there to see that? Whoa! Can you imagine? I tell you, we read about these things and we think, just imagine, this cloud just settles down. Can you imagine if a cloud just settled in here today and we couldn't see and all of us would be on the floor because we couldn't stand to minister? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that was? How many think that was powerful? How many say magnificent? Full of splendor. And why couldn't they go in? Because they were flesh. And coming into contact with the glory will cause the natural to yield every time. Did you know that? You can't do it. You can't stand up. The glory of God filled the house. Now, is there a message in all this, Pastor? Well, yes. I'm glad you asked me. I'm so glad that you came here to hear this today. Because where's the temple? 70 AD, Titus razed the temple of Herod in Jerusalem. And there's not been a temple there yet, or for since that time. 70 AD to 2010, there's not been a temple. Did you know that there's not been one sacrifice offered since that time? I've got a little news for you. From the time that the veil of the temple was rent in two, the manifestation has changed anyhow. There was never a sacrifice that meant anything from then on. But Titus tore down the temple. All that's left is what they call the Wailing Wall. Is there no temple? What's that, Paul? Where's the temple? Go ahead. Where is it? It's in us. Now listen to me. If God had a plan for His handmade temple, How many of you believe He has a plan for the temple of God today? How many of you think that there might be some preparation that's in order? Did you know the Bible says we're living stones built up into a spiritual house for the Lord? We are living stones. We're not only living stones, but we offer up living sacrifices. Sacrifices of praise. Sacrifices of surrender of ourselves to God. The olah offering of the Old Testament is in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And I guarantee you start talking to people about the glory in that way and people start saying just what I did a minute ago. Wouldn't you like to see a cloud just fill this house? Oh yeah. But don't you realize we've been focusing too much on a physical house and not enough on a true temple of God? That God wants to manifest Himself in us? That God wants His Spirit to be seen inside of us? That the power and the anointing of God is supposed to be here? Not on a building, but in us. Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And when you read Gentiles, you can say it also nations. Same word. Goyim it is in the Hebrew. The Gentiles isn't just talking about people. It's talking about the nations or the people of the nations, not just a certain group that aren't Jews, but anybody that's not a believer. What's God want to do? He wants to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you know about the name Christ? It means anointed. So many people, religious people especially, is Jesus Christ must be His last name, right? But we know better than that here, don't we? We know that Christ really means, every time you read it, in your mind you should at least translate it. Because it means the anointed one. The anointed one. It also, when you speak of Christ, means not only the anointed one, but His anointing. The anointing that is His. And so now let's read that again that way. And instead of saying Christ, let's say it that way. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is the anointed one and His anointing in you, which is the hope. What's hope? Somebody tell me what hope is. I know what hope is. Hope is, well, we're going to have a picnic this afternoon. I hope it doesn't rain. How many of you know that's not hope? That's a desire. That's wishing, right? But what's hope?
To see better things.
Yeah, it is that.
Next expectation.
An earnest expectation. An earnest expectation. The hope of glory is I earnestly expect it. Let me tell you another word for it. This will help you to get hope down. Those of you that ever built anything, did you use a blueprint? Those of you that have ever assembled anything, did you use a plan? The plan or the blueprint is the same as hope. It's hope. It's let you know exactly what it's going to look like. You get to see in it. It's kind of like smelling garlic sautéing on the stove. You just smell it, but you can taste it, can't you? If you like garlic, I happen to. Garlic and onions. You don't want to be around me when I'm really enjoying myself. Does keeping the commandments or loving God have anything to do with His glory? According to the Word, it does, doesn't it? Doesn't have anything to do with getting saved. You can keep all the commandments and you can't get saved because you can't keep all the commandments. It takes the blood of Jesus to get us saved, doesn't it? But once you're saved, the Bible says that you have been created unto good works. And that's keeping His commandments, doing what He said. Doing what He said. Obedience is a preparation. We're preparing ourselves for the glory of God, to obey God, to do what He says, to put ourselves in a position where His manifested presence can be seen in us. What do we have to do? We've got to clean. Say clean. Say clean.
Clean.
We've got to purge. When you're getting ready for something, do you ever clean? People coming to visit, do you ever clean? I know some of you just keep it clean all the time. You don't have to clean. We clean, don't we? You got to purge. Why? Because we get too much stuff. We got to purge some of it and get it out. Now I'm talking about your temple. Yeah, how do you clean it? How do you clean this temple? You better know, because you got to keep it clean. Renewing our mind by the Word of God. And Jesus said, the Scripture says, it's the washing of the water by the Word. Washing of water. I noticed this a long time ago. Even sometimes when I read something and I'll think, boy, I tell you, Lord, I don't know what that means yet. I know You're going to show me, but I don't know what that means. That I get done and I still feel better because I'm clean. I've been washed by the Word of God. Washed by His Word. That's what we're doing. So we're getting ourselves ready. We're also, once we get things cleaned, and once we get things purged, get rid of the excesses, what else do we do? We adorn. Say adorn. We adorn ourselves with good works, don't we? We adorn ourselves with the Word of God. We begin to look like our Father in heaven because we do what He says. There's an adorning that comes into us. And along with this, let me just add, we've got to have a zero tolerance for strife. How many of you say I do? I've got a zero tolerance. I don't allow strife in my house. I don't allow strife in my... Boy, it's a killer. You better listen to me. Don't have any strife. Don't allow it. Lay things down. Get them down. People will try to help you take on strife. Have you ever noticed that? Don't let them do it. Get rid of strife. Keep it gone. Keep it away. You remember Korah? Who knows who Korah is? Korah. What? Yeah, they got swallowed in the earth. The earth opened up and swallowed them. Why? Strife and contention that birthed rebellion in them until they spoke against God's anointed. Moses said, if they die like other men die, then God hadn't spoken to me. And then He said, just let the earth open up and swallow. And the earth opened up and Korah and all his household swallowed. What caused that? Strife. We need to stay away from strife like cancer. People guard against cancer, but they don't realize strife's one of the open doors for cancer. Unforgiveness, one of the open doors for cancer. We need to be away from those things. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Separate yourself from everything that divides or compromises or has a connection with darkness. People nowadays want to get as close to the black arts as they can. I don't know what it is about this. People love those movies about vampires. You ever notice that? They like movies about dark things and scary things. You don't belong there. Those things shouldn't have any kind of... you shouldn't be thinking on that stuff. People get into trying to do the same things the world's doing. They make potions and... You know, listen... There's some real true things about alternative medicine, and I believe in it. But some of the stuff is so close to the Eastern arts, you need to get completely separated from it. Have nothing to do with it. The Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why am I saying all that? Because I'm preparing my temple. Are you? Are you getting ready? Are you preparing? Listen, things are coming that are going to shake this world. Did you know that? There's some things coming right soon that are going to be big shakers. Big things are going to happen. You know what? They're not supposed to move us. Are you moved by what you see? Are you moved by what you hear? You shouldn't be. You need to be founded on the Word of God, because there's going to be shaking. And those things that can't be shaken will remain. But I believe in the very near future, you're going to see some things that are going to be fearful. We've seen some fearful things. I don't know. You know, if man's finding out they don't have solutions for everything. Have you found our economy can't be solved by manpower? This spill in the Gulf, people don't know how to fix it. Did you know what? In the book of Revelation, there are going to be a lot of things coming that people can't fix. In the book of Genesis, when God judged the gods of Egypt, it was the same thing. Their gods was the sun, the Nile River. Well, those things are being judged right now, people. Things that people... Listen, I love this environment. God made it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But if you're an environmentalist, God help you. Because you put your center in the environment. And the environment is not a god. I don't care what the New Age tells you. It's being judged. Right now. Things are coming that are going to shake the world. And believers don't rely. We don't rely on the outward spectacular, but on a sure foundation. Never emphasize the miraculous over the Word of God. Everything we do here is about unity, right? I don't want strife. I want unity. Everything we're going to continue to do here is going to be about that. Because I'm believing for a higher level of manifestation as we gather. I'm believing for that. Are you? Stand with me and let's believe together. Hallelujah. His glory fills us. Amen. His glory fills His temple. Let's get it prepared so the manifestation of God can be everywhere we are. Amen? Let's work on it. Can't always normally be seen. You can't see it in the natural. But you know it, right? You know it when the glory is there. It's that yoke-destroying, burden-lifting anointing of God, and it's in us. And I'm believing we're going to see more and more of it every day. Amen? Amen. Father, we love You. We bless You. We honor You. Your Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirit, our joints and our marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And today, as we love You and present ourselves before You, Lord, we present ourselves, Father, that we might prepare this house for Your dwelling. Lord, that Your mighty anointing might flow forth through this body, through the people of this body, through the people who hear these words today. Those that hear them as we speak right now, those that will hear them by CD or listen to them on the internet. Lord God, we believe that the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God is overshadowing and filling us up. Lord, that we might walk forth in might and power, that the anointing and the power of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in us. We worship and adore You and magnify You today. We love You and praise You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Is there anybody here today? You've heard all of this and it's all been like the Hebrew that we spoke right at the beginning. It's been so new to you, you're not sure what's going on. But I'm going to ask you, is everyone here today made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life? Is there anybody to hear today that's not born again? If you're not born again, you can't enter into the rest of this. Anybody that's not born again here today? Everybody here know Jesus as their Savior and Lord? If you don't, put your hand up right now and I'll pray with you. We don't have to make you a spectacle in any way, but you know, Jesus called everyone He called openly. Anybody? Praise God. Well, Father, we love You so much and we just yield ourselves to You as we dismiss today. And now if you just lift your hands up in the air and receive this blessing from God, God will put His name upon you. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received it said, Amen. Amen.